So for anyone who was here on, I think it was Sunday, I'd begun discussing the issue of Geneva Dat, and Ray Kropkin felt there was a point that was worth saying, so he said it in a minute, but we'll explore the point that he thought was important, because it is critical halacha l'maisa. So the Gemara, just to recap, the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Dalet says that there is a prohibition against being a gonev dat habriot, deceiving people even without explicit lying, which is either a subsection of the prohibition to lie or of actual theft, which is a machlokes rishonim. But in that context, the Gemara tells the following, and Dan Amud Beis says the following halacha. Let's say you are a Jewish meat seller, and you have treif meat, and you want to sell it now to non-Jews. But if you explicitly tell them, I'm selling this to you because it's not kosher, they're not going to buy it, or they're not going to buy it at full price, even though there's nothing wrong with it, it just happens to be that it's nevela, it happens to be that it's treif, it happens to be that it's not kosher, they're not going to buy it at full price. So you don't want to go and say it's not kosher, but obviously you're not going to say it's kosher, that would be lying. So what do you do? So the Gemara says, what you're allowed to do is say, I have this meat and I want to sell it to the king's army. The reason is because the army is not Jewish, and therefore this meat is for them. And they will assume that it's, you know, they won't really know why you're selling it only to them, but you're not explicitly saying it's not kosher. So the Gemara says that's permitted. And the Gemara says, why aren't you deceiving them? You're not telling them it's not kosher. And the Gemara says, no, and this is what Ray Kropkin mentioned. The Gemara says, Iu hu da'atea nafshei. Because he didn't ask you, he didn't say, well, why is this only for the army? Or why isn't it for the Jews as well? Since he didn't bother asking, he deceives himself by making an assumption that he didn't have to make. But what exactly are the parameters of this idea, right, that he deceived himself, right? We could always do this, right? We could, you know, recently there was a whatever, I won't get into the details. We could always just say, you know, I didn't actually lie. He asked me, did you, you know, is this kosher meat? And you say, mm-hmm. You know, you don't say yes. You say something like that and you assume that they'll figure it out. Isn't that, you know, he's tricking himself. I never said yes. Or this was used as a legal defense recently in a court case, right? It doesn't really work very well, right? What does it mean? So there's a machlokas Rashi Tosfos. Rashi says that the difference between cases which are permitted and forbidden. So this case, which is permitted in the Gemara on Amud Aleph, which said, for example, you aren't allowed to invite someone when you know they're not going to come just to ingratiate yourself with them, is simply, did you verbalize anything or not? Did you verbalize anything untrue or not? In the case on Amud Bet, in this case of the meat, you just said it's for the army. You didn't say it's kosher, not kosher. You didn't verbalize anything which was deceptive. You just left out information. As opposed to when you verbalize and say, I'm opening this for you, that's a lie. You're really opening the bottle of wine for your store. You're really inviting them only because you know they're not coming. But you did something active rather than, this is for the army. And they deceive themselves. So the difference is whether you verbalized an untruth or not. Tosfot says, no, that can't be. Obviously, you can't verbalize an untruth. That's called lying. This is called Geneva Dat. It must be different. So Tosfot says that the difference is, could the other person have figured it out or not? So here, if the guy chooses not to ask you, why is this meat only for the army, it's his problem. Because you said something that indicated there's something amiss. If he chooses to ignore it, to close his eyes and ears, and not try to figure out what's wrong, that's his problem. You don't have to say this is not kosher meat, but you have to at least open the possibility that he could figure it out. But why would someone who you're inviting to a meal assume the only reason you're inviting him is because you know he can't come and you want to ingratiate himself? It's something that's inaccessible to him. There's no reason he could assume it, and that's Geneva Dat. So the difference is, could he or could he not have figured out from the circumstances what was going on? If he could have and chose not to, that's his problem. If he couldn't have, that's called Geneva Dat. Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the position of Tosfot. So just to give one nafkamina to this, well, I'll give you two, actually. I'll give you two. One is the nafkamina Ray Kropkin wanted to mention, which was, let's say you happen to fly in to New York for whatever reason, for business, and you find out a friend of yours is sitting Shiva, and you go, and he says, wow, I can't believe you flew in from Toronto for the Shiva call. You don't have to say anything because this is like the meat case. Yehuda Ataya Nafshei. Right? He tricked himself. So even according to Tosafot, that is clearly permitted. Right? He should have asked, what is the likelihood that my friend flew in from Toronto just for a Shiva call and he didn't just pick up the phone and call? Right? If he chooses to deceive himself, that's his problem. But what would be a nafkamina? So Rabbi Yosef Carmel, who's one of the heads of Eretz Chemda, has a fascinating one. I gave a share on this last week, but I find it fascinating. He said, this Gemara is necessary if we want to figure out whether halacha would forbid insider trading, even if it weren't, right, halachically, even if it weren't illegal, even if we didn't have a problem with Dinan de Malchusa. And he says, since we paskin like Tosfos, you know where halacha would draw the line between legitimate superior information and illegal or anti-halachic insider trading? He says, well, it depends on whether the person could access the information. So, for example, if the classic case that Dr. Levine likes bringing in his books, if a mineral company approaches you and offers you a tremendous amount of money for your property, if you don't ask, why are you offering above market price, and ask, is it because you have reason to believe there are valuable minerals in here and you're going to make even more money than you're paying, that's your problem. Because if the mineral company for no reason is paying above market price for your piece of property, it must be that there's something, or there's a reason for that. If you don't ask, that's your problem. But if you know that there's a merger happening tomorrow that nobody else knows, and you're buying and selling on that information, no one else could access it. And according to Tosfos, that makes it Gneiva Dat. If I'm entering into something, or I'm entering into a deal, or I'm performing something on the assumption, right, that I know something that you can't possibly know, that's Gneiva Dat, or insider trading. So if Carmel says this position of Tosfos is necessary, if we want to figure out when something's superior information, when it's insider trading, the line will be, is it something that if the person was just perceptive enough, he could have accessed, or is it something that I have access to that no one else has any reason to even think about, then that would be insider trading and not superior information.